Happy belated 4th of July, everybody. It's another episode of Icy Takes with two-thirds of the cast here, Big Dave and Jeff on the other side. Jeff, did you have a great 4th of July weekend? Tell me about it. What did you do?
I had a good 4th of July. The girlfriend stayed over at the new palace on the top of the parkway. She stayed over. We had a family movie night with me, her, and the roommate. We had a nice dinner, some chicken parm style kind of dinner. Had some wine, had a movie. The next day, we decided to go have dinner with my parents back at the old palace. Played some games, had some good food, and then on the 4th, my cousin Erica, congratulations to her, had a gender reveal / 4th of July party. She is having a new baby boy in November, which hammered that one at 500-1 because everybody in the family was pulling for a baby girl. I said it would be a baby boy. I hammered that one. And then Sunday kind of took it easy, and then here we are today. So a lot of drinking, a lot of eating, but definitely a good, relaxing 4th of July weekend. How about you?
Well, I would say roughly the same thing, where it wasn't too crazy, but it was nice to get together and have a few drinks with some people and some family over the weekend, where Friday was a little bit productive, got a haircut, just basically shaved it all off.
I saw that. You went bald again.
Yeah, I did go bald again. It's just when you can't grow hair on top, but it comes in on the sides, you might as well just give it up. So that's what I did. But a little productive, and where I got to travel up to Pittsburgh late Friday night. A buddy of mine was working till 11 o'clock, so I met up with him. It's been a while since I've been to his place. Came back for the 4th of July at home to hang out with the parents and everyone else, and went over to my brother's and continued the celebration, and then had a softball early in the a.m. Sunday, Jeff, and we were humbled the first
game. I was going to say, it sounds like hungover baseball happened, huh?
I can't really say it was hungover, though. It was just, they were the better hitting team than us, for sure, in both games. But the second one, we had a chance, and we just came up short. Where it's weird, the first game, when you get run ruled and lose 19-2, but you put up a double and a run and a single, and you can't really fault yourself at the plate in that game. You did what you could do. It didn't help in the third inning when I had an awkward ground ball that I thought I could feel forehand, but it should have been backhand, where that would have been the third out, leads to 6 additional runs after that. So, that was a killer. That was definitely.
Were you giving away free outs?
Free out, yeah. Free out. I can't really say it was multiple. I can say it was one, though. But and then in the second game, when we lose 6-4, so a slow pitch softball league goes the full 6.5 innings. We were the away team the second game, lose 6-4, and I can't remember if it was 0-2 or 0-3, but I kept dipping the shoulder, just trying to really show off some strength, and then I just get under, and it's just a very high fly ball that goes like 200 feet, maybe.
Oh.
So, we were humbled, but like I said, this is the gauntlet part of our schedule. I'm pretty sure that team is still undefeated after this week. So
I'm sure the heat didn't do you any favors either.
No, but luckily we had it at 10 a.m., so hot as it could be, but it was still coming down.
Yeah, that's like the sole reason. Like times like these right now with the weather, I'm glad that I've chosen to coach / play in a sport that we like it cold and we can control the climate as much as possible.
Right, and
till January hits, and I wish I coached basketball instead.
And then so. Like, just to wrap it up before we get into the show. So last week we scored, 54 runs in 2 games? And then this week we scored 6.
Oh.
So Like, we can be a very hot team, and then we can be a very cold team.
Eh, as long as when the hitting's bad, the pitching's good, and the, you know, the other way around, hopefully you can right the ship and get both going at the same time.
Exactly. The second game, like I said, we had a chance. When you, they hit all of their home runs. There's a 3-home run limit in each game, but if each team hits 3 home runs, they each get an additional home run. So then everyone after that is an out.
Mm-hmm.
They used all 3 of their home runs and scored 6 runs. So, I mean, we were right there for it. We just couldn't grasp it.
Boy. Oh, boy.
So that was our, you know, big day's softball recap. Yeah, we'll just leave it at that. Hopefully we can ride it next week because we got another early one. 10 a.m. Oh. Doubleheader.
No going out the night before. You might have to put a curfew on the boys.
We'll see. It's tough to put any curfew on these guys, believe me. So, speaking of softball, and the game similar to it with baseball and then also hockey, because, you know, we cover that as well. The, you know, the hockey is essentially now phase 3, I believe, with announcing both of their hub cities. Actually, Jeff, you know, let's just start there, because that was something that we should have seen, but didn't really acknowledge it ever on the show. We'll get to the COVID stuff later with MLB and NHL. I'm sorry to throw you in here for a curveball, because this is something I did want to talk about.
3-0 curveballs are why I have trust issues.
The NHL picked both of their hub cities, and they are Edmonton and Toronto. Now, this is interesting, Jeff, because at first, Canada was not having any of it with people coming in from out of the country and just doing whatever they could. It was had to be a 14-day quarantine at the minimum if you were to come in, and then you could, you know, slowly put yourself back into society. But when the NHL wants to reopen, I think the country heard that, you know, we could get some of this revenue here with all the players. This is our sport. Why don't we try to, you know, woo the NHL with our two cities on East and West and go from there? So it looked like Vegas was going to be in there. Then all of a sudden they got axed, and then everyone was putting the puzzle pieces together, and it's Edmonton and Toronto. Jeff, how did we not at least acknowledge this on the show that this could be a possibility?
Oh, I'm pretty sure if we didn't, I know for sure that it had to have come in my normal rant about the Canadian media, because I remember listening to a podcast with Elliot Friedman and on his 31 Thoughts podcast, free plug for you, Elliot. And they brought up the idea of bringing it to the United States. This was early on with COVID and everything. And something came up that it was like, that like, oh, well, games might have to be played in the United States. And you could just feel like the panic in both him and Jeff Merrick's voice with the fact that the NHL would be strictly played in the United States and how much they feared that. And you could, like, as this kept going and going, and they started axing the different cities left and right, like, it was just a matter of time. And, like, Toronto makes sense, but why Edmonton? Like, I don't get, like, the Edmonton one, because, like, every player talks about how terrible it is there, and, you know, this is, like, the worst city to ever play in because, like, there's just, like, nothing to do. And maybe that's a good thing with all the COVID stuff and everything, but, like, I just don't get it. I don't get how, like, people aren't surprised more about it being so Canadian-driven. Like, and maybe that's because there's not as much hype on hockey here in the United States than what maybe I would prefer. But, I mean, I saw this coming a mile away, that they're just going to keep it in the Canadian cities. I mean,
He should have at least announced it on the show and gave us a warning.
Yeah, I know. I probably should have. But I figured I'd keep it a surprise for those who didn't want to know the outcome. Kind of like a wrestling show. Don't give away the ending.
So I'm trying to find where Edmonton had their proposal. where they were going to try to set it up kind of like the Olympic Village with having players stay in that certain area. And then when they weren't playing games, they were going to have access to what I believe was private golf. Now, this is going off of straight memory of where I thought I read this as I'm trying to find it. But in this one article, it says here that all players will stay at the JW Marriott Hotel, which is across from Rogers Place, a village-style setup similar to that used during the Olympics, will provide players with outdoor and indoor activities, including golf simulators, basketball courts, movie nights, video games, live entertainment, ping pong, pool tables, lounge areas, and rooftop patios. So when I know when Edmonton kind of got thrown into the mix. Also, they have the new stadium, and I think they just want to show that off as well, and with fans or without fans. I don't think it matters as much, but when you're throwing it in there, kind of like a setup for like an Olympic Village where you can kind of contain the players, almost like a bubble, kind of like what the NBA is doing, and there's a lot of players saying it's not going to work for everyone, believe me. This is where I thought Edmonton had the best chance to get in, where I thought they were going to for sure have Vegas in there just because of how new they are to the NHL and try to bring that to them.
But well, I think with Vegas though, what happened there was that I believe they had a huge spike in COVID cases. Now you can take that for what it is. It's cases or over deaths, whatever it may be. But I think that's what ended up hurting Vegas more than anything is that they had a big spike in cases. Because I think that was their ideal place, but just because they have the hotels, they have the restaurants, they can kind of pretty much shut off that part of the strip and say, like, this is just for NHL guys and their families or whatever. So I think that was what hurt Vegas more than anything.
I mean, the spike in numbers, which was, I mean, it seemed to be cases, is what brought them down. You're absolutely right about that. So I think that it's at least good for logistics reasons to have these cities in separate time zones. And I think this is probably what the NHL wanted in the first place, was at least one city. And then when Vegas had that little spike, it was enough reason to kind of push it towards Toronto. Because it looked like they really wanted Edmonton on there for sure. I just think Toronto was that like floating piece of, you know, if Vegas doesn't work, we'll just shift it back over there and move on from there. Edmonton is also going to be the city in which they have the conference finals and the Stanley Cup championship.
Oh, good. So Edmonton's finally going to see a cup for the first time since the 80s.
Yeah. It's just, we'll see if Mr. McDavid's raising it or not.
Probably not. I wouldn't bet on it.
Who would you bet on right now?
I like Pittsburgh. I know that's a homer pick, but I like Pittsburgh. Another homer pick, I like Colorado if they can get healthy, which they should be able to. I don't know. I like the idea of the teams that play in the quote-unquote qualifying round, whoever would come out on that. I really like them just because you've figured out your game after how long and, you know, your timing's back. There's not that feel-out process where I feel like the teams that got the bye, they're going to be figuring themselves out and trying to get their emotion back into it, where the teams playing in the qualifying rounds, you know, you're going through a 5-game series and you've kind of been in that battle where it means something already.
No, I get you with that. I think it's going to be a lot tougher for Boston, Tampa Bay, trying to think of the other end, St. Louis and Vegas, like teams like that, to get into that rhythm against teams that have just played their play-in games. And we'll see, you know, how they're feeling going into that series, see how they fare. Because I want to say that the teams that at least lose a game but find themselves winning the series are going to be in the best position. I think teams that sweep still find themselves in that little bit of area where they might not be in that full swing of things, but depending on how well they sweep their opponent, that can be interpreted differently, because it's 3 out of 5, isn't it?
Yeah, for the qualifying round is 3 out of 5. And what's scary about those are, you know, you run into a hot goaltender that steals the first two games, you're in big trouble real quick. So, it'll be interesting to see how teams decide to play it. I think the teams that are like the lower seeds, like the Montreals and the teams that got the benefit of the this qualifying round, Chicago, to see if like they kind of play it as like, we'll kind of let the higher seed kind of almost play their way into a loss, where they sit back, kind of play a defensive style, and kind of wait for their opportunity to pounce. Very similar to like how the Islanders like to play a little bit, and because all the pressure is on the higher seeded teams, especially a team like the Penguins that have all that skill. And I think I saw their odds today. They had like the highest odds to win their series at anybody in the qualifying round. I think they were like a -200 on the betting odds. So it'll be interesting. It's gonna be interesting how teams decide to play this qualifying round.
I think if there's one dark horse team that, let's just say, is below what would have been the actual playoffs. So if, you know, in the qualifying round, like the seeds 9 through 12, I think if there's a team to bet on in that range to make that miraculous run to the cup and win it, would be Arizona in my mind, just because of how hot they were to begin the year. And then you add Taylor Hall, and if they can go in post pandemic, or, you know, during pandemic, however you want to describe this time, and get off to that nice start, that could be a team to watch out for in that seed range.
Yeah, I think that they're not a bad pick, but I don't know if they're deep enough. I think a team that also would be curious is Calgary. I think that's one that maybe if they can get themselves going and they can return to form where they were last year, and hopefully get some of the goal scoring going again with their big guys, that could be a team that makes it out of the qualifying round and can kind of pounce on a team. But I mean, it's going to be hard to beat those top three in the West with St. Louis, Colorado, and Vegas.
Oh, true. I mean, if anyone can do it, your boy Johnny Hockey can do it.
Johnny Hockey, pride of BC. How are you?
So, all right. So let's move on over to what we were originally going to start with, which was the numbers of positive tests in both the NHL and the MLB. It seems as if the numbers that are coming out, people are freaking out about, but I believe in the NHL, it's up to 35 players across the league, which is about an average of a little over one per team. And I'm assuming that all teams are getting tested, even the ones that aren't playing. But if not, out of the 24 teams, you still have 35. It skews the number up a little bit per team. And then in the MLB, I believe they might have just cracked over 30 not too long ago. And this is based off when we're recording. So, I mean, you're looking at around one per team. And it's not like it's spiraling out of control, Jeff. It seems to still be limited to where these players can still contract the virus, but it seems that they are also doing a good job of not spreading it themselves. So should we expect this to just be a norm where we're going to see these players test positive even whenever they come back and play and get on the television for us to watch? And we shouldn't really bat an eye as long as they're using the right protocol to get, you know, quote unquote healthy. Could you see this number rising to the point where maybe instead of just 1% of the league, it gets to 10% of the league?
I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting to see how that number does go, because, I mean, you had the initial test as a reported to summer training, I guess is what they call it, but
summer camp in baseball,
yeah, instead of spring training, it's summer training or whatever the hell it is.
Summer camp.
And so I mean case in point is with like the Atlanta Braves. Are arguably the heart and soul of our team, Freddie Freeman, got diagnosed with it with the symptoms and everything. And So now with the season literally 2 weeks away with him being diagnosed, I believe on Friday, with his 14-day quarantine, he'd be all healthy, ready to go for opening day. But how, like, if you're the Braves, do you say, okay, you're back, but you have to take, you know, an extra week to, like, get your training back? Because, I mean, I'm sure he was working out during quarantine, but then to get shut down completely again for another 2 weeks, that's a whole new situation there. So it's going to be interesting how teams handle it, because there's no room for error, too. It's only a 60-game season. And you can't afford to fall back behind, you know, go, we'll cap it at what, a 4-5 start? Like, that could cripple your season right there, especially in the massive East Division with the AL and the NL.
And I think I understand what you're saying there, but when you look at hockey with 82 games, and let's go back to, like, the 2018 November that we always talked about for the Penguins and how piss poor they were that month. They still found a way to rally after that terrible month where I think they got 4 points in the entire month of November. Granted, there weren't as many gains as some other months. So I understand that it could be detrimental to get off to that slow start because of how short the season is now with baseball, especially with what we're used to. But you can still almost treat this like a hockey season and say, hey, you know, we can afford the first week, maybe in 2 weeks at the top. So when you have a guy like Freddie Freeman out because of the circumstance of him contracting the virus, and he might not be right away ready to go when the season is supposed to kick off, but I wouldn't be as worried if I were in your shoes, Jeff, if your boy Freddie Freeman.
I would be worried, because especially in that East Division, I mean, we talked before the show, there's like a stretch they go from like Philly, Washington, New York, Boston, and then end with the Nationals again before they see a team like the Marlins, the Mets, or anybody else. So
now,
is that during
the first part of the season, that part of the schedule you announced, or like when does that start? The second week, like, the third week?
I think it's like they start off, like, if I remember correctly, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, it was like Mets, Rays, Mets, and then like you start getting into like the New Yorks, the Phillies, the Nationals, and like you, like it's like 3 weeks straight where you're playing teams that are legit playoff contenders year in and year out. So hopefully, you know, Acuna and Albies can pick up the pace. I mean, Nick Markakis announced today that he's opting out of the year for the COVID reasons, which, you know, I don't know how, as a fan, that's like a tough thing for me to say, like, okay, yeah, that's okay. You know, I get it, but I mean, there's other guys there that are there, you know, still committed to the team and everything. So that's like a tough thing for a fan to kind of weigh. I don't know how you feel about it. I know it's a little touchy for me. I don't know how to approach it.
Well, with Markakis' announcement, I saw that he wasn't playing, but I didn't read the reason and asked to why, where we can almost have the comparison like we talked about last week. Is it more of a Mike Leake situation to where he just doesn't feel comfortable going out there? And when you don't live with anyone high risk, that means Markakis is done for the year. He cannot return to the team, no matter like how many injuries and all those other things occur. Or is it more of a Ryan Zimmerman situation where he does live with somebody high risk and is just taking that precaution? However, if the Braves get in that spot where they might need him, he can rejoin the team.
I did not read into that. I just knew it was COVID related and everything like that. So bad reporting on my part that I didn't know that he can rejoin the team at a later point if he opts out.
Well, and that's only if it's like the Ryan Zimmerman situation. If he lives with someone that is high risk with, you know, if they have a pre-existing condition, that might be more likely for them to contract the virus if he were to unwillingly get it on the road, unknowingly, I should say, and just spread it at home like that. Where if he doesn't live with anyone like that, he cannot rejoin the team. So that is one thing to look out for with everyone making these announcements, because I know David Price announced that he won't be returning, and I think he is the one that's giving up the most money so far out of all the players that have made the announcement. And I also know that David Price has also been very generous to the minor league players for a team that he hasn't even played for yet, and he's still giving up that cash flow with the Dodgers. So
where's he at now?
L.A.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, he was a part of that Mookie Betts trade.
Oh, okay.
It almost sounds like you just heard about this trade.
It sounds like I did, because I honestly didn't even know he moved. I thought he was still with the Nationals.
Oh, my God. David Price, he was a Red Sox.
Oh, not David Price. You said Ryan Zimmerman.
Oh, no. Whenever I was mentioning David Price giving up the most money, I thought that's who you were asking
for.
Oh,
sorry. I got confused. I thought you meant Ryan Zimmerman. I go... When did he?
Oh, no, Ryan Zimmerman is still a National. He will always be a National.
Yeah, the David Price thing, I knew he went to L.A.
Okay, so look at us. This is just falling apart at the seams, Jeff. So to answer your question earlier, I don't know how I would feel about it if one of the players on the Pirates that was higher end, Josh Bell, this is going to be me exaggerating. It's like big name, but I'm going based off the team.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's different for, you're going to think I'm picking on you for being a Pirate fan. I'm truly not.
This time you're not.
I'm not. I'm just trying to put this in perspective. Like, you're going into this thing saying, okay, this is another ho-hum year for the Pirates. We're probably going to lose probably a good 75% of our games. And, you know, it's just a year of development, right? I mean, that's kind of the mindset you're going into. Where, like, with the Braves, I'm looking at this as, like, okay, this is another year on Acuna's contract, on Albie's contract, of them being young. Freddie Freeman's 30 going into 31. I mean, there's a lot of things going on with the Braves where, like, we can't be wasting years here. Like, we have to capitalize on these years as much as possible. And, you know... If I'm Alex Anthopoulos, when we get to the deadline in August, like, I'm buying and saying we are capitalizing on the now, right now, because at some point later on down the road, and I know they just signed extensions, but Albies, Acuna, Soroka, Max Fried, you have all these young kids, and you have them on some pretty team-friendly deals. Capitalize now, and, you know, that's where, you know, the Nick Markakis saying, yeah, we don't know what his role is. It'd probably be a little bit less than what it was last year. And maybe that's his reasoning for staying back and opting out. But yeah, I think anybody that's an Atlanta Braves fan, you're thinking, like, we got to go and we got to strike while the iron's hot right now. So that's kind of how I look at it, where it's like, I don't know, like, do you want to be part of this, or is just, you know, are you just trying to saying, you know, hey, you know, baseball might not be as important right now, which is fine, but, you know, with all this happening and everything, it's a little worrisome for me.
Yeah, and I see what you're saying with that. Now, to go back with the Pirates, like you were saying, I'm okay with them to just pull out all sorts of tricks. Like, get Cabrian Hayes up here, leave Cole Tucker up here, and then you'll have a series of different combinations on the infield that you can use, especially now that there's a universal DH. You can get other people on the field or even exchange them as a designated hitter to see where people are fitting, where I can see Cole Tucker getting playing time if the fielding is there, which it was last year, but he's got to get the bat back up. And now if that doesn't work out, he could be the replacement player as Kevin Newman plays short, while you have Adam Frazier, who I think will start at second base, but then kind of rotate that DH position anytime they want to bring Cole Tucker out onto the field. Ke'Bryan Hayes at third, a mix of Colin Moran, those two there between DH and who plays third base, and even Josh Bell. You could even bring Colin Moran over there at first base, or have Jose Acuña opt in at first base. There's going to be a lot of different combinations that the Pirates are going to use this year, and I'm okay with whatever happens. As long as they at least win 15 games, I'm cool with it, as if they can get a feel of what to go in with next year.
The really cool thing you'll be able to watch as a Pirate fan, and because I know you're invested in this team and you're going to watch them regardless, is you're going to see a whole new way of how to manage a baseball game this year. I'm sure you're probably going to see a lot of openers, starters, bullpen games, double switches left and right and everything. It's going to be pretty cool as a Pirate fan, where they're just trying to see what they got in the organization and kind of.
And it's only a bonus if they win.
Right. It really is. And you can kind of get into it and everything. And I know how you feel, because I kind of went through that with the Braves between 14 through 17. It was kind of like that, where it was like, oh boy, let's see what we got in the system here. And yeah, let's just see how Freddy Gonzalez screws this one up tonight.
Oh, those are the glory years.
Oh, you loved them years. You loved it a lot on the radio show.
It was great. I loved it.
But yeah, I mean, it's going to be cool to see how the Pirates manage their games and, their bullpens and all that stuff. So that's the one thing, you'll definitely see a different side of baseball that probably we've never seen before with the managing and the money ball and all that stuff. So
one more thing, I just want to mention this. I don't really want to go into detail about it. There is going to be a three-man taxi squad for each game, meaning that while the team is on the road, there will be three additional players brought in that aren't dressing for the games unless in games one or two, depending on how long the series is. There is an injury. That player, depending on what position, can then step in and replace them on the roster the next day. With of the three players, one of them has to be a catcher. So really, you're getting two additional players. So it's going to be also cool to see what the taxi squad is going to be for each road series for teams.
So this is the one year that Lou Brown should have taken three catchers, huh?
Yeah.
I think what we're saying here, Jake, is we're not carrying three catchers.
Okay. One more thing about baseball that I at least wanted to talk about, and we were talking about it before the show. With all the scrutiny, especially in the NFL with the Washington Redskins looking to change their name finally, with a lot of sponsors and the stadium sponsor looking to back out if they didn't do anything this year, the Cleveland Indians have always been in that kind of rocky boat of, is it racist, is it not? I mean, can they use it as their team name? Where is the line drawn when it comes to having a team name like that? They already got their hell with Chief Wahoo, and now that's gone. Now they might be looking to change their name. And Jeff, I want to have fun with this, but at first I do want to bring this up first. And you can chime in if you want or not. Where the president of the United States, Donald Trump, has said about Washington and Cleveland possibly changing their names, saying that they shouldn't because at the time when these team names were made, they were out of strength, not in weakness. And it just kind of boggles my mind to see a person not get the feel of the room at all with, at the time, this wasn't that big of a deal. But as you progress and learn more about how societies are affected by this, you kind of think, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't have named our team name, the Redskins or the Indians in general. Because I think I mentioned this to you earlier, and this might be just out, just like grasping at straws here with this example, but it would be almost like a team name being the Caucasians or the African Americans or something that just relates to just a group of people. And, I am kind of using it here and using the color of their skin in the title of the, friendly sport of competition. So it was just interesting, and it boggles my mind to see someone who is running the country, just not get the feel of this yet. And, you know, that could be either stirring up the pod in the media or just not getting the feel. One or the other, I'm not sure. But I just wanted to throw that out there on how it was just boggling to me to hear that from the man leading the free world. I don't know if you want to chime in on that, but because I do want to have fun with the changing of the Cleveland Indians name.
I'll just chime in on this real quick. And I'll first say, and again, we always say this, if you're upset with anything that I say, DM me, tweet me, whatever. It's fine. I voted for the man in office. I probably will vote for him again because he's done wonders for my career. And where I'm at financially has a lot to do with some of the things he's done with the economy. Having said that, rule number one at the current palace that I live on the top of the hill above the Squirt Hole Tunnel, read the room. Know your audience and read the room. And right now, Donnie, baby, you gotta just put the phone down for a minute, please. Please, because you're doing exactly what your competitors are doing, where you're making everything political and everything's too much. Just put the phone down. Let's just kind of relax here. I get what he means with the Indians because they've already done their whole scrutiny with the Chief Wahoo and all that. The Redskins, people have been hammering them for years. And I think this is more of a Dan Snyder problem than it is, you know, the organization itself. I think it's more the owners just being stubborn. And I think this is just something where the president needs to back off and let the owner of the team do his thing. But I agree with you. He's not exactly reading the room. And it's kind of like, as a supporter, it kind of makes you do the palm to the forehead move where you're just like, oh, geez. Like, so that's all I'll say about it. As far as with the Indians and everything, if I were an Indians fan or anybody, why are the Kansas City Chiefs kind of being unscathed from all this? Because I feel like that one would be a little more offensive than like the Indians, because the Indians is just like the group of people. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know how much I have to add to that right now. I want to say, if you want to get back on me like next week when I have a better answer to that question, because I really don't know how to answer it. So I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay. But
if you want to get back on this next week, I can do that.
We can. Yeah, we can. My point, though, is that, like, and one of my favorite teams has one of those names, right? So that's where I'm kind of like, well, where do we draw the line here? Because it kind of, I'm just not sure. Again, I feel like we've already done an episode like this where we've said, like, we don't know what to say here, or we're unsure how to approach this. But as far as everything going on, like, I think this is a topic for another day, and I think we're getting a little bit too serious on this.
I was trying to look to have fun with this after we had our own piece there at the beginning.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we can get back to that next week, because the Cleveland Indians, they've been named the Indians since 1915. So over 100 years, they've had this name. So what could the Cleveland Indians change their name to? There are a couple different options here, Jeff. And looking through some of these on an article on CBS Sports, I am down with a couple of these names. Oh, my God. There are some pretty good ones here. Let's start with the first one. And the one that I think probably has the best chance and isn't really viewed, well, I think it's viewed by the deep lovers of baseball. That's where it's loved. But I think to the general public, it won't be as widely accepted. The Cleveland Spiders, in their little article here on CBS Sports, saying, with apologies to the University of Richmond, Spiders is a woefully underused sports team name. In this instance, there's a civic connection. The city's short-lived National League franchise of the late 19th century was known as the Cleveland Spiders. So they were already named this team, and I think like the Spiders is a decent team name for almost any sport. Wouldn't you agree?
For Cleveland, it is, because that city's been getting stomped in sports for the last how many years? take away the Cavs in 2016. That, I mean, they've been on, under the Adidas shoe of every other sports city in the world for the last, you know, how many years. So, I mean, if you want to go with that. But, I mean, there's going to be jokes following being the Spiders.
Dude, that was probably one of the best zingers you've had on this show. I'm not even kidding.
I mean, I was, as you kept reading on, I go, I can't wait to drop this. So
how about this? You got the Cleveland Naps. Now Nap LaJoie spent the heart of his legendary career with the Cleveland's American League team and was the AL's first true superstar. His star power was such that, yes, the Cleveland team was named the Naps before. It was named the Indians. That means it would indeed be a nod to franchise history to roll the name back to Naps. So, Jeff, you got the Cleveland Naps, which I think can work. But, you know, like I said, if to the general public, it's just going to be weird. They're going to think, oh, they're just taking naps on the field, right?
Well, I mean, that would have been a good one for the front office of the Pirates, because they've been taking a nap for how many years. But I don't know. That one, I don't. What's your logo? Like, at least
exactly.
I can, like, picture one, but, like, I feel like all we're doing is changing what's across the chest. I want to know what, like, the Spiders, I feel you can kind of work something in with, like, the Cleveland Sea or something, but with, like, the Naps, it just, like, I don't know. You're just changing the name on the jersey and you're not doing anything with the hat or anything.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where they could go with that. It would just be, I think, the letters, and that would basically be it.
Right.
So this would basically be the same thing as the Naps, the Cleveland Fellers, because it would be in honor of Bob Feller. I'm not really going to go into the articles here as much anymore. But here's one that I think can work. Now, whenever I saw this at first, they didn't have the ER in between or in this word, Jeff. So at first, when I saw the Cleveland Rocks, I'm like, that's hilarious, because I know what they're insinuating there with the song Cleveland Rocks and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But I can just imagine just like a pile of rocks on the hat of that logo.
I can see it.
Sedimentary rocks sitting right there. Just really all they are.
I don't know. The Rockers wouldn't be bad, though.
The Rockers would not be bad. And I think you can do a lot with the logo.
It goes in with what the city's known for and everything like that. I mean, it would be an incredible move, though, by Indians management, just say, you know what, we're going to also throw money in on the copyright of the Cleveland Browns, and we're just going to double down on it. And just, like, I think that would be hilarious.
The Browners.
Yeah. No, just two teams named the Cleveland Browns in the same city.
No, that would just be, too much woe. Going with the Rockers, the WNBA franchise that was in Cleveland was named the Rockers from 97 to 2003. So
there's a reason to bring it back.
Now this one I can be good with. The Cleveland Crows. You got the double C in there with Cleveland and Crows, each beginning with C. And that is a bird name that you do not see that can be used in a very dark way and intimidating way of designing the logo in the right way, so that, you know, you have something that looks cool and you would love to sport.
Not bad. I the more you kept talking about it, the more I kind of liked it. So I'll give you that one.
So, another one, Jeff, we have the White Sox and the Red Sox. Would you like to see the Cleveland Blue Sox?
Nah, too many socks here.
There's too many colors.
Yeah, too many colors. And yeah, what are we going to name the Pirates? The Gold Sox.
Yeah.
You sounded like you'd been smoking something funny there for a little bit, and you're like, yeah, that's what we're going with.
Just Just shut up. Let me talk. well, how many more? We got, all right, just five more rapid fire, okay? Cleveland Cuyahogas. Now that's,
no.
That's kind of hard to say. I like, it's more of like a minor league team.
Well,
name,
what the
I
hell
think.
Is a Cuyahoga?
I think it's one of the rivers. Yeah, it's the one that caught on fire, I believe.
But that's got, like, I feel like that's got like a Native American twist to it, and it's going to be just a lateral move.
Yeah, I see where you're going from there. The Cleveland Great Lakers.
No.
Or Great Lakes maybe would be better, but still.
No.
The Cleveland Unions.
No.
Nope. The Cleveland Blues, which is kind of like a spinoff, I think, of the Rockers as well.
Nah, no.
And the Cleveland Cinders. And basically this article, and it's just a sentence.
What's
here
a cinder? Like a cinder block?
And he said, I just told you about Cinders O'Brien, so I'm not sure why I'm explaining this one. And I think that was based off the Cleveland Blues name. Mm-hmm. So it was just basically after a person named Cinders O'Brien. But yes. I like the cinder block idea more from you.
Yeah, no. The cinder blocks. The Indians have been pulling the city of Cleveland down since 1948.
I'm going to try and put ourselves on the spot here with names that we did not mention based off this article that we could give the Cleveland Indians in the next 10 seconds.
I like the Rockers.
Well, I was going to say something that we did not already mention.
That we did not already mention.
Yeah, so that's why I'm trying to put the creative spot on us right now, because I didn't even think of anything until I brought up the question. I hope you're thinking of something while I'm filling this time and kind of stalling a little bit.
And but, I'm thinking here.
As far as maybe something off the wall.
Ooh, I got one off the wall.
What was that?
Listen to this one. The girl from the Drew Carey show, what was her name? Mimi?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's logo, mascot, everything. And the logo is like the animated like Drew Carey face that they had as like when like the theme song ended.
Yeah.
That's her logo. It'll just be the Mimi's.
I mean, I thought maybe you could get away with the Cleveland Careys.
I feel like Chicago would have an issue with that.
Yeah, but I mean, when you see the logo, it's like, oh wait, never mind. It's those funny glasses, not right, those yeah. funny glasses.
Yeah. It was the guy singing Cleveland Rocks at 7:30 at night on a Wednesday night, not the guy singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game at 1 o'clock on a Thursday.
Right. Should they, if they were to go like Cleveland Rocks, should it be ROX?
No, because isn't that the Rockies?
No, I mean, they're the Rockies. I don't know. We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
I think if I were to think of one off the wall, I think it would have to go based off, you know, the Cuyahoga, but not the Cuyahogas, like I had said earlier. It would be the Cleveland Fires, the Cleveland Fire, one or the other, just because noting the fire of the river and just how hilarious that is. That was really the best I could think of off the top of my head, but anything to kind of poke fun at the city while having a new name, I think works for them.
Not bad. How about the Frontier? The Cleveland Frontier?
Just Frontier, no S?
Yeah, the Cleveland Frontier, and you kind of have you go with like the logo similar to like what like the Minnesota Wild is.
Okay.
Because you kind of go with the Revolutionary War spin on it, that like it was the open frontier. There's a whole new world past the state of Ohio and everything like that, and you have the Great Lakes around there and everything.
We better make sure that the Indians are listening on this show.
Well, all my ideas are copyrighted, so they can talk to my agent about it.
Yeah, that's fine. They can still listen.
Yeah, absolutely. Just don't steal my ideas.
Yeah, we'll tag them in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, that's as many names I can think of off the top of my head. I'm trying to think. We wanted to talk about one more thing, and I think I remember what it is now. The NHL and the Players Association have come to an agreement and have a new six-year CBA. Jeff, I'm going to pull up the details right now, but this is, I think, I wouldn't say huge, but I'd say this is big for the sport of the NHL with where every other sport is at the moment, that they can get this deal done. And whenever if we ever get to that state of normalcy, we get back into the swing of things.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something not to sneeze at here is the effect that this has. We saw what baseball went through. We saw what basketball is kind of going through now. And the NFL was even on the verge of having no season this year as well. So the fact that the NHL was able to get a deal done, again, to get that done, not have to worry about it again till I believe 2025 is when that ends. Definitely big for hockey, who, you know, let's face it, it's been the sport that's kind of dealt with CBA negotiations. They've had two lockouts within the last 20 years to avoid that, and we can focus on hockey till 2025. That's definitely a big day for the NHL today.
One of the big things about this agreement of the new CBA is that there will be a return to NHL Olympic participation. And for this year, the right for players to opt out of this year's playoffs are big pieces to the new CBA that was agreed to. Jeff, I know of all the sports, and it's just because of when they play the Olympics and when the NHL has their season, it's a big deal to play for your country in the Olympics and hockey. Basketball, you can kind of get away with it because of that being played in the summer, where their season starts at, you know, the mid-fall or early fall to early summer. But with hockey, it falls in the middle of your season. So it's nice that the NHL is letting their players return back to Olympic participation now.
Yeah, it was definitely a big deal, and for them to get that done definitely puts the owners in good graces with the players again, because I am sure that there was a lot of players that were unhappy that they were not in South Korea for the Olympics. And I mean, as an American, I'm pretty excited about it too, because the young talent the Americans have, you know, we can kind of go after the Canadians again. And I know I can speak for a lot of USA hockey fans that going after the Canadians and beating them at their game is something we circle on our calendar each and every time the Olympics or any international tournament happens. So I'm sure they think the same thing. The Russians think the same thing. The Swedes, the Finns, you go on and on. When it comes to, yeah, you want your NHL team to win, but once you put that country's colors on, you're playing for your country. And a lot of hockey players put pride in what they do in their international game.
So trying to not just read these verbatim and explain to what's happening on this deal, but it looks like that the upper limit of the salary cap will be frozen at $81.5 million up until the end of the 2022 season. So the next 2 years, the cap will be at that limit right there. So not going up. So you're not looking to spend more money. You're looking to go about it the same way and restructure in that way. And then it will go up another million the next year and another million after that, when it looks like that'll be the end of the CBA deal, barring them having a new one by then. And it looks like the escrow cap for next season will be a maximum of 20% regardless of revenues. They mentioned that it could end up being a lot less than that, you know, because there's that possibility with how the next season's going to go. There will be a 10% deferral of compensation for salary and signing bonus for every player, and an amount that will be paid back to them in equal installments, subject to escrow, in the final three seasons of the deal. So in reality, players will have 30% taken off their salaries next season.
Yeah, so, I mean, to you know, figure out the escrow and everything too, that was a big thing players were looking at when all the COVID stuff started, because revenues are obviously going to be down a little bit with no fans, and the uncertainty of how next year is going to look. for them to kind of iron out a escrow and to get on the same page as the owners, which it seems like since day one, the players and the owners in the NHL have worked pretty good together, which they haven't in the past with the two lockouts we mentioned before. But to get that done and to be on the same page and try and get hockey back on the ice as quickly as possible, again, another great day for hockey that we've said a couple weeks ago and even like a month ago when the NHL started putting together a plan to get back with their four phase plan and everything. It seems like at all three leagues, hockey is kind of, I wouldn't say be the front runner, but they've been doing themselves a good job and things that typically they don't do the best work at.
Last thing I'll mention about the escrow, and then we'll kind of move on to our MVP, is that the escrow cap for year two, so in 2021 and 2022, will be 18%. The following year will be 12%, and then 9% in the last year of the CBA. So the escrow continuously goes down, especially from next year at 30 to the year after that at 18. It looks like it just gets cut in half each year up until that point, and hopefully they wouldn't need that anymore because you should be back on track having fans in the stadium with the sellouts and everything else like that and go on from there. So anything else to mention about the new CBA for the NHL?
I don't think so. If you want some more detail, obviously there's definitely better guys to follow and listen to. So, we kind of hit some bigger bullet points and we'll just kind of move on from there.
Okay, so let's wrap it up with that MVP of the week. Jeff, you can go first.
Oh, I'm going to go first. Hopefully you got a better one to bring up the end of the podcast because mine's bad.
Hopefully.
My LVP of the week is the Honda Motor Company. I'm kind of in a fight right now with them. I have had a second major issue with my car that is only 3 years old. My air conditioning went out on me probably about a week ago.
Oh no.
And like literally the hottest time of the year. This is potentially going to cost me like $400 to get this thing fixed. And me and my dad, or as I like to call him, my agent, has already started taking flyers on possibly looking at trading this thing in and getting a new car. So a company that I once backed a lot when I bought my car because they treated me so well, Honda's kind of been dropping the ball here a little bit. So, it just sucks. Car trouble sucks. And to have two issues within 6 months apart on a three-year-old car, I think is a little ridiculous. And after when I bought it, everybody said, oh, you got a great car. It's going to be stable. You'll be able to have that car for 10 years. And to be having these issues, it kind of just makes me shake my head a little bit. So right now my LVP is Honda Motor Company.
Yeah, that's not good. I mean, I know that I'm not having issues like that. Luckily, I have not had major stuff like that happen to any vehicles that I've had. I imagine it will at some point, but until then, I'm just kind of along for the ride, if you want to put it in those terms. But I think if I were to pick anyone right now, let's go with Trevor Williams, because he at least gives a crap about the Pittsburgh Pirates. That is the new cover photo for the Pittsburgh Pirates, is a tweet from Trevor Williams. I'm actually going to find out like what that conversation was about, but the fact that the Pirates have their cover photo as a tweet from Trevor Williams, who I think is one of the top guys in the MLB on Twitter. There's Trevor Bauer, who I know Zach likes to mention, and I know Andrew McCutchen has been on a roll recently too, but I know that Trevor Williams is one of the most dominant guys on the Twitter sphere world, and for him to have he's on the pitching mound in one of his photos wearing swimming trunks over top of his baseball pants and socks wearing little floaties on each arm and has a mask on while wearing a sun hat saying ready for summer camp in Pittsburgh. Like he's after it. I can't really find where that conversation is of him saying, you know, I give a crap about the Pirates, but I think Trevor Williams is one of the best people on the world of Twitter and baseball. So that's who my MVP of the week is going to be.
Yeah, the guy that backs the organization that you like. I mean, how can you not like him? So
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, not a bad one either. So, yeah.
Did you ever watch? I mean, you probably haven't seen them, but he during the height of the pandemic, during the quarantine, Trevor Williams had a series called Trevor Talks Topics.
I did not see that, no.
And I think you would enjoy the first one because it was about trade in the 19th century in American history.
Oh.
And it, based off the selections that he had for everyone to vote on, that was the one that was like so off the wall that everyone picked. And he kind of just threw everyone in for a loop that said, hey, I had a degree in American history, so let's get to it. And he just talked about it for like 5 full minutes, and it was great. Like, he was covering everything, and the way he presented it was fantastic as well. So
Nice.
But I think I'm cool to wrap it up there. How about you?
Yeah, I think I am, too. I haven't eaten dinner yet, too, so it's about time to...
Let's get out of here, Jeff.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
this has been the Icy Takes podcast. You can like us on Facebook at Icy Takes with Zach, Jeff, and Big Dave. Follow us on Twitter at Icy Takes, I-C-E-Y, Takes, all together one word, because that's the way we like to spell it. Follow us on the personal Twitters at Big_Dave52. And for Zach, he's at ZachMorris82.
And I'm at JChrist_51.
Like our Lord and Savior. Oh, man, hopefully we didn't go off the rails too much, but if we did, we hope you enjoyed the show, and we will be back next week. So until then, stay icy.
Love you guys.